When the day of the Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord to one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words."
We often talk about the message that Peter proclaimed right after that in Acts chapter 2, and we should. We need to talk about that message. That is the message that leads to heaven. I think sometimes we misunderstand or overstate our attempt to reach people in the world because we want to bring them into the church. And that's true. But we sometimes don't pay enough attention to what the goal is. We have people out there who are on their way to hell. We have friends that are not going to be in heaven, and that's who we need to reach. That's why we need to reach out. Jesus told us to reach out to people because they are going to the wrong place, and we want to focus them on going to heaven. There's an aspect of this chapter that we sometimes don't spend a whole lot of time with. We talk about the fact that that's the first gospel sermon that was preached that immediately follows what was read this morning. But did you pick up? That's the first gospel meeting. This is the first gospel meeting of the church. Now, we've got a gospel meeting coming up. It's almost time for our spring gospel meeting, and every one of us needs to be interested in its success. Gospel meetings have been held since the days of Acts, and they're still being held today, and they are important. If you want anything to succeed, you need to know what is it you're trying to achieve. What is it that you're trying to do? Without a goal, without knowing what you're reaching for, you'll never get there. You'd be like the airline pilot that came on the intercom and he said, "Well, folks, we're lost, but we're making good time." We got to know what it is we're trying to achieve. And I suggest to you that there are a couple of purposes behind having a gospel meeting. And I know from hearing them pray and hearing them talk about it that our elders have these two things firmly in mind. One purpose is to evangelize. To evangelize, to reach out to the world. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us." Here's the point. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That everyone would change their life. That's what that repentance means. And focus their life on getting to heaven, on serving God. That's what God wants. And that's what he's charged us to do. The gospel meeting is to evangelize. It's to provide an opportunity for friends and neighbors to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If they don't hear it, they're never going to obey it. I've often said, and I use this when I talk to people in a world setting out there, ever so often I'll have something go not quite right in a restaurant or at a store, or there'll be a problem. And I go to people and I try to, I don't want to be seen as a complainer, but I'll say to the manager something along these lines: look, I spent a number of years in management, and as a manager, I never fixed a problem I didn't know about. Ever. Not one time. You need to know about this. Well, if we want people to go to heaven, they're not going to go if they don't know about it, about how to go there, about what to do to get there. And we've got an entire nation that has been bombarded with the idea that, oh, to get to heaven, you just got to say, I want to go to heaven, Jesus. Well, I got a news flash for you. I want to go to Disney World. I like Disney World. I want to take my camper and go to Disney World. Think I'll get there? Not if I don't do some budgeting and do some common sense things that are realistic steps to get there. I won't get there. In order to get there, I've got to hear what it takes to get there. I got to say to Dennis, is that Highway 65 that I take? I got to find out which highway it is that I take. I got to find the map. I got to find the directions. I've got to figure out what the cost is and plan for that cost. It's the same thing going to heaven. This is a chance. This gospel meeting is a chance to tell other people about going to heaven, about what it takes to please God. This is an opportunity to bring people to the Lord. This is an opportunity to tell people about going to heaven. A lot of times we're cautious about talking to people because we don't know how to, or we're a little scared about saying something wrong, or we're nervous about it. Well, here is your great opportunity. You don't have to go, and that's a topic of a whole nother sermon on evangelism. We'll get to that in a later time. But with a gospel meeting, this is an opportunity that it's an event that you can invite someone to. I'm not so old that I don't remember my dating years. And you know one of the toughest things about dating? Ladies, you may not know this. Guys, you know it. What am I going to ask her to go do? I'm going to take her on a date. What am I going to do? I remember coming to Harding. I love Harding. I love what it stands for, and I pray that it continues to do that, and rights the ship. But I came to Harding from Southern California, where I graduated from high school. It was not uncommon in Southern California to pick a girl up at 7:30. We'd go to dinner, we'd go miniature golfing, we'd go go-karts, we'd go to the beach. There were things all over the place. I picked a girl up, got my first date to Harding, picked her up at the dormitory about 7 o'clock and looked around and realized there were sidewalks in Searcy at dark. What am I going to do? I had to learn that I had to stop and think about what I was inviting my date to go do. Well, this is like that. You have an opportunity to say to somebody, here's an event. Would you come with me to this event, this gospel meeting? First purpose is to evangelize. Second purpose of a gospel meeting is to edify. I like that word. Sounds good. It rolls off the tongue nicely, doesn't it? Means encourage. Means strengthen. Means make us feel better about doing what we're doing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another. That means thinking about each other. Not just thinking about me, thinking about each other. To provoke. Provoke. That's another word we don't use a whole lot. Well, yeah, we do too. We say to the boys, quit provoking your sister. You know what that means? Poking, irritating, pushing, provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, That doesn't mean you can't miss a service. What it means is that every opportunity you have, be with each other. Encourage each other. Strengthen each other. Cheer each other up. Help us to keep on keeping on. I saw something on Facebook the other day that said the more you miss church, the easier it is to miss church. We get out of the habit of encouraging each other. With those purposes in mind and this gospel meeting coming up, how can we make this gospel meeting a success? To evangelize and to edify. One of the keys to a successful meeting is preparation. Preparation. Catch that word, preparation. You have to do it beforehand. Gospel meeting starts on Sunday, I forget the date, 29th, is that right? 28th? Last Sunday of this month. Monday of that week, it's too late to start preparing. We got to do it now. Preparation means doing it before the meeting. It's obvious that Ty will have to be prepared, and I'm sure he will be. But it takes preparation on our part, too. We need to be prepared to attend each and every service possible. Prepared to be here. Now, that means planning ahead. Some of you are going to be worried about, what am I going to wear? Does my tie match? Are my shoes polished? Well, Monday after the meeting starts is not the time to start figuring out if you need shoe polish. Do it ahead of time. Do it beforehand. We need to be prepared to encourage other members to attend. We need to prepare to be friendly and encouraging. Sounds simple, sounds basic, but some of us, that's hard. It's hard to walk up to strangers and smile and be friendly, but that's what we need to do. And we need to think about it and plan, how am I going to do that? What do I need to do to get ready? Prepare to invite people. Some of us have to screw up our courage to do that. We need to do that. And preparation involves effort. It doesn't just happen. We have to put some effort into it. And we need to do it, every single one of us. Invite other people to come ahead of time. You walk up to somebody on Sunday morning at 9:15, the day of our meeting, and say to them, hey, we're having a gospel meeting. You want to come to our gospel meeting? Starts this morning in about 15 minutes. The odds are they're not going to come. We need to pre-work on that. We need to prepare. We need to plan to attend every service. That means we may have to rearrange some of our work schedules. That means we may have to say, well, you know what? I was planning to take a two-day fishing trip on a Monday and a Tuesday, but I'm going to have to adjust my schedule ahead of time. We have to think about these things ahead of time, and it takes effort, and it takes work, it takes planning on each of our parts, and we need to be praying. Successful preparation, I suggest, means that we need to work as if it depends on us and pray as if it depends on God. And we need to be doing these things right now. We need to be preparing before it starts. The next key to a successful meeting is prospects. Prospects. That's the evangelize part of our meeting. That means figuring out who we're going to talk to and talking to them ahead of time. Our friends, our neighbors, our family, anyone who could use some encouragement, anyone who's not headed the right direction. I am so thankful to see some people that I haven't seen in months. There's a couple of you that I've met one time. I'm glad to see you. Some of you I've met more than once because you come by the building every now and then to pick up communion, and that's wonderful. That's the worst part of this whole pandemic thing, is that it's caused us to be separated from each other, and we need to be encouraging each other and to be strengthening each other. And we need to be looking out and looking for prospects. Those of you who've been long-term members here at Foothills, do you know somebody who's not here this morning who hasn't been here for some time because of the pandemic? Call them. Tell them what we're doing to separate with social distancing. Tell them what efforts the elders have taken in order to make us safe to be together. Tell them what's going on. Tell them that the meeting is coming up. Tell them that these doors open up and there are seats out there in the fellowship hall area, that if we have things in the if we fill up this area here, we'll put people out there and I'll preach from down there. I don't care where I preach from, so that those people can see and hear. We have plans in place. Call them and tell them. There's somebody you know who's not been comfortable or felt safe coming to church. Call them and encourage them. They're prospects. Anyone who could use some encouragement. What do we do with these prospects when we figure out who they are? Well, invite them. Tell them what they need to do. Tell them how to feel safe. The fields are ripe unto harvest. John chapter 4, verse 35. There are plenty of prospects out there. Prospects, I like that word. Sounds like an old-time prospector, doesn't it? You know what those old-time prospectors did? You've seen pictures of them. You all watched Western movies. They all have a pick in their hand or in their pack and a shovel, and they're going out and they're digging in the ground and they're searching, they're looking for gold. We need to be prospecting. We need to be looking for people who want to go to heaven. And we need to find them. You make a list of all the people that you know, I'll bet it would surprise you how many people you know. Some of you have a Christmas card list. I gave up on a Christmas card list years ago. Brendan, in one of my earlier careers, I traveled all over the country building and rebuilding television stations. And every time we moved, I ended up with a whole new list of friends, a whole new list of people that I knew. And when our Christmas card list got to 2,000, we quit. You think I'm kidding, don't you? If I sat down and made a list of everybody that I ever met, worked with, was associated with, spent time with out there in the world and in the church, it would be thousands. Easily. Easily. I bet you know that many people too. You see, your problem, we often say, I don't know who to ask to come to church. But the problem is we're not thinking about it right, because the reality is your problem is narrowing the list down. If you just look at your Facebook friends, you'd have more people than you could possibly think of inviting. Prospects. Invite someone. The third key to a gospel meeting being successful is presence. No, not the ones you wrap up and put under the tree at Christmas time. Presence, being there, being here. Your presence is important. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32, begin in verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage you the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Your brothers will be discouraged if you're not with them. They're going to war. You need to be with them, because they need your encouragement. You not being there is important. Oh, preacher, yeah, that's a whole tribe. He's talking about two tribes. That's a lot of people. I mean, a whole lot of people. One or two persons shouldn't make that big a difference. Let's flip forward to the New Testament. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul writes these words in chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. You see here, he's got a chance to preach. The door's been opened by the Lord. Here I am. I'm ready to teach the gospel. I'm there. Look at verse 13. I had no rest in my spirit. because I didn't find Titus, my brother. Titus was not there. And Paul was discouraged and depressed. He's got the chance to preach. He's got the opportunity to tell the gospel of the Lord to a whole new group of people. He looked around and Titus wasn't there. And Paul says he was discouraged. One person. You may think your absence is not important, that your presence is not important, but it is. It is critical. It is very important. Empty seats have an effect on those who are here. They always have and they always will. They affect the morale and they impact our visitors. They impact everything about being here. You not being here will make a difference. I'm going to say that again. I used to tell my college students at UC and at Northern Kentucky University, when a teacher says something twice, it's important. If they say it three times, it's a note-taking opportunity. It's going to be on the test. Your presence is important for this meeting's success. You being here will encourage Ty when he stands up here to speak. It will encourage the people sitting next to you. It will encourage the people around you, and you not being here will have a negative impact. Oh, preacher, that's four times. It's a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Yeah. What can you do for the Lord? What would have happened had Jesus looked around and said, well, I know you got the crucifixion planned for Friday, but I got things planned. I'll be there Saturday. I'll join you. Your presence is important. And finally, the last important key I want to talk about today is participation. Participation in the whole aspect of the gospel meeting, beforehand, during it, and after the meeting. Obviously, invite people. Volunteer and look for ways to help. We have a brother here who, I don't know if he's ever been assigned a job, but he does a whole bunch of stuff. And nobody notices it until he's gone one Sunday. Because he looks for something to do. There are things that we can do to make this gospel meeting a success. When people walk in the door, can you meet them at the door? When they're walking down the aisle and looking for a place to sit, can you talk to them and say, hi, how are you? Can you help the ladies or whoever it is that makes sure that our visitors get bread as a way to remember us, as a way to touch their lives? Can you arrive early and stay late in order just to talk to people and encourage and strengthen people? Can you sing and listen and pray and act during this gospel meeting like you're glad to be here? Oh, we need that. We need that so much. We got enough people in this room right now that when we sing, we ought to be shaking the ceiling. If we sing like we mean it, we're supposed to sing to the Lord with our hearts like we mean it. I think it's so sad. I've been places where the singing is like this. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I want to say, do you? Are you listening to what you're saying? Because you're talking to God. You're singing and praising and worshiping God. Are you saying it like you mean it? Are you singing it like you mean it? Are you participating and listening like you want to learn something? Are you paying attention to what's going on around you? That's important. That's participation. I once heard a preacher say, would you buy a car from a man who looked at you and said, you want to buy a car? And yet we tend to say to people, you want to go to church? Let's mean it. David said, it is good to go to the house of the Lord. And it is. We need to show it. That we mean it. We need to call and talk to those people you invited and thank them for coming. Ask them if they'd like to sit down and talk about anything that they heard. Ask them if they'd like to be involved in a Bible study. I don't know how many of you looked at those house-to-house, heart-to-hearts. That's quite a brochure. It's well done. It's well printed. It's not cheap printing. It's very well done. Those of you who looked at it, did you notice inside that there's a little questionnaire, a little test, a little thing to fill out Bible questions and answers? And then it says, clip it out and mail it to the address on the back side. You know what that address is? Right here. We're going to start getting mail, I guarantee it. We are going to start getting those back. Those Bible correspondence courses is in effect what they are. We're going to start getting those right here. Somebody is going to need to sit down and grade those and get back to those people and say, here's your questionnaire. You filled it out. And here's what you got right. Here's what you got wrong. Let's talk about this. An opportunity to study and an opportunity to spend time with people. You know who has been assigned the responsibility for keeping up with those? Go ahead, raise your hand. All of you. Everybody I can see has been assigned that job. I didn't know that. Yeah, you have. Jesus assigned it to you. It's a way to reach out. It's a way to participate not only in evangelism or in evangelism in this meeting, but evangelism on a broad scale. We as Christians have a responsibility to participate. We have a responsibility to talk to people. We have a responsibility to encourage them, to reach out and take them to heaven with us. Gospel meetings are a great time to encourage each other. They're a great time to have an event to invite people to. They're a great time to evangelize, to tell people about going to heaven. Because that's the goal. We can do that, but we have to do it. Every single one of us. Every single one of us can find something that we can do. Being here is an encouragement. And I know I hear all the time, I don't have all those talents. I don't have all of those skills. I'm just a little guy. There's not a whole lot that I have to offer. You know, I'm old now. I've had a lot of sickness now. I'm too young. I don't have enough training. I didn't go to Harding and Bible class. All of these things that I don't know what I can do, but there is no little unimportant member in the Lord's body. Not one. I think I might have shared with you once before, I don't share my physical problems too often because I don't like them. So I don't like to talk about them. I got a corn between two toes right here. Some of y'all have had corns. You kids got a lot to look forward to. Don't get them if you don't have to. Make sure your shoes fit. One little bitty corn. For those of you who don't know, that's a hard spot in between your toes. And when you rub it, it hurts a lot. Kind of like somebody taking a red hot pin and sticking it in your toe. It's my little toe. How much of this body is a little toe? Not much. Not that much. Little bitty part of my body. It hurts when I walk. It affects how I walk. It affects how far I can walk. It affects what I can do. It changes my whole attitude towards things. You ought to see me when I'm sitting down last night watching TV and my dog, whom I love completely, my beautiful little 90-pound golden retriever came running through the house chasing Brenda's little dog, and she stepped on my corn. In that moment, as much as I love that dog, I'd have killed her. That little bitty sore on my little bitty toe has affected my whole life. Little things make a difference. Oh, preacher, I'm too young, I'm too little, I'm too small. No, you're not. You're part of the body. And when you hurt, the whole body hurts. And when you're healthy, the whole body is encouraged. And when you're here, the whole body is strengthened. And when you're not involved, the whole body is diminished. There are things we need to do to ensure a successful gospel meeting. Preparation, prospects, presence, participation, and most of all, prayer. I sometimes hear people say, well, there's not a whole lot I can do. All I can do for you, brother, is pray for you. And that phrase just really bothers me because that's not all you can do. If that's all you did, that's wonderful. I believe in the power of prayer. We need to pray like this meeting depends on God and work like it depends on us. I would love to have a situation where the elders have a real problem. Y'all want to help me give the elders a problem? Let's give them a problem. Not like they don't have enough, but they can use one more. Let's have so many people in this building for this gospel meeting that they not only have to open those doors, but they have to open those doors. Let's have enough people to hear the gospel, to hear the opportunity to go to heaven, because there is nothing more important than going to heaven. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your challenge is. I don't care what is facing you. I don't care what you're going to be dealing with as far as your career choice, as far as your job choice, as far as what you're going to do in school. I don't care whatever your situation, however important, whatever who you're going to marry, whatever it is. It's nothing compared to going to heaven. We need to reach out to people and get to work to make this gospel meeting a success, to encourage each other, to strengthen and edify each other, and to reach out to a world that is not going to heaven. And that's our job. Are you where you're going to heaven? Are you confident? Could you look me square in the eye? Could you look your friend, your brother, or your sister square in the eye and say, I am confident that if I die tonight, I will wake up in heaven? You should be. Gospel talks about our calling and election is sure. We can know. We're supposed to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. That hope is heaven. Is the hope that we will be in heaven. If you don't feel that secure, if you don't feel that strong, then brother or sister, we need to talk. If you know that you're not headed to heaven, that is the most important decision you can make. Let's sit down, let's open the Bible and see what God says about how to go there. If you made that decision and you haven't been doing what you should, there's something in your life you need to get out of your life or to straighten out, and you need help and you need prayers and you need forgiveness, we're going to sing that song. I want you to come down here, sit down here. We'll sit and we'll talk with you. We'll ask for prayers of the church. We'll strengthen. We'll gather around you because that's what family does, and this is a family. If there's something in your life, it's just between you and God, and you need to straighten it out. While we're standing and singing, do that. Don't walk out these doors to that mission field unprepared to meet God. I encourage you to respond to the Lord's invitation. Let's stand and sing, Steve. And while we're singing, respond to the Lord's invitation.